Hey, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. Looking this morning at dedicating the infants, looking at the story of Hannah and the gift that she received from God and the birth of Samuel and the moment that she took him to Eli, the priest, and dedicated him before the Lord. If you're able to stand together, let's stand for a reading from the Word once again, 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm focusing on 27 and 8. I'll go ahead and read 24 through 28, beginning in verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks, and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and thought, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. This is the word of the Lord. Let's give thanks. Father, we thank you for your kindness. At this moment, I ask that you would open our eyes so that we could see truth, open our ears, open our hearts. May your Spirit do a redeeming work, a sanctifying work here this morning. Thank you for the dedication of the infants we had just a moment ago, praying again for our children, asking, Lord, your blessing on every one of them. And now, help us as we worship in the Word, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the Bible is a book of miracle births, and there was Isaac, born to Abraham and Sarah, well advanced in years, like in their 90s when Isaac was born. A miracle to be sure. Promises given, promises kept. Rebekah, barren, grieving. Jacob had Leah for a wife. She was giving birth to many children. Rebekah, no children. She prayed and prayed and asked the Lord to help her, and to her were born a set of twins, Esau and Jacob. Samuel, born to Elkanah and Hannah here. She said, for this child I prayed, and the Lord gave me this child, and I'm so thrilled with the Lord, you giving me this child. I give. And this child is back in your hands. John the Baptist, born to Zechariah and Elizabeth, late, well advanced in the years. The greatest birth in all of Scripture has to be the Lord Jesus Christ, born to the Virgin Mary, raised by Joseph and Mary in Nazareth. And there are many things that come out of Christ's life that help us in our life. Christ being raised as the son of a carpenter and working, no doubt, with tools in his hands and making tables, chairs, feeding troughs, whatever, cradles. His working in that vocation elevates all of our vocations, that we can work before the Lord and dedicate our work to him, whether it's not just an ordained pastor. You may be an ordained electrician, an ordained HVAC guy, an ordained, you know, Uber driver, ordained carpenter, ordained whatever you do for the Lord. When Christ had his vocation for those 30 years and then 3 years of public ministry, he elevated all of our vocations before him. When he submitted to Mary as his mother, when he submitted to Joseph as his stepfather. He literally elevates the role of parenting, elevates the role of step-parenting, and so that we can walk before the Lord. The value of parenting, the value of step-parenting cannot be overstated. You are heroes. You are a blessing in the hands of God. Likewise, when the second person of the Trinity came to earth as an infant of all things, it elevates us, all of our infants. These are gifts from God that we treasure for time and eternity. A reason to celebrate. Let's forget about wars. Let's forget about elections. Let's forget about the economy, forget about the military, and let's be inspired by this simple story of a woman saying, I prayed for this child, and on this day of dedication here at Friendly, may we allow the Lord to use this text to warm our hearts this Christmas season. First thing I want you to notice with me is prayer, that she prayed for her child. Simple. The second thing I want you to see, that she saw this child as a gift from God. And the last thing I want you to see is that they worship the Lord together. There's this sense that Eli's there, the priest is there, Hannah's there, Elkanah's there, Samuel's there. It's an all skate. They're all worshiping the Lord as I wrapped that reading up. And we can do that as families to this day. First prayer, very quickly, 27a. Samuel, a miracle baby. Hannah prayed for him. She told Eli, the last time you saw me praying. And if you know the story, he thought she was intoxicated. She wasn't. She was moving her mouth, praying before the Lord, asking the Lord to give her a child. And she said, you remember me, I'm the woman that stood by you here praying unto the Lord. He answered my prayer with this child. For this child, I prayed. And her praying for Samuel says to me, I think it's a good idea for all of us to pray for our children. I can tell you the number one item on my wife and I's prayer list. It's without question. It has been that day for 45 years of marriage since we first held our firstborn Gideon in our hands. And we've been blessed with 5 children, 6 grandchildren. Number one list, our children. And I always tell my wife, you know, darling, we are no happier than our saddest child. If one of our children is heartbroken, we are heartbroken. We pray for our children. And that's what Hannah did here. She says, for this child, I prayed. I talked to the Lord for him. You say, now tell me why I should pray for my children. Do you know that our children have an eternal soul? That these little girls that you saw being held in front of you are created by the hand of God in His image with a soul that will last forever. And we need to pray. I think one of the key ingredients, maybe the secret to child rearing, successful child, is just pleading to God on behalf of these children that they would walk with Him in truth and for His glory. I think it was Billy Sunday, he said, there is no devil, you know, no demon in hell, no devil strong enough to win the day against a praying mother who prays for those children, right? I think it was Abraham Lincoln says, you know, of all the things that God gave, a godly mother who prays for me, that's the best. It blessed his life as he served as president of the United States. There, people go crazy about things. Who's going to win, you know, who's going to win the Super Bowl? Who's going to win some baseball game? Who's going to win? Who's going to win the Kentucky Derby? The horse comes across. They lead it into the winner's circle, and there's flashes everywhere. So there's artists that are beginning to give renditions of this. There's movies that are being made. There are books that are being written. There's this, you know, stallion sales that go on into the millions and millions of dollars. I mean, the whole world goes crazy. The most precious thing in the world, more the greatest treasure you will ever hold in your arms, is the child that God would give you. on this earth. It is worth more than any other sporting event, horse event, legal event, political event, anything is that child. Pray. A child's soul is the most valuable treasure God can put in our hands. We talk about the pearl of great price. The most precious thing in the world is the soul of a child. I have a Gideon, a Lydia, an Ethan, a Bethany who is here this morning, and an Abigail. And they are they are God's greatest gift to me, besides my wife and my salvation. Those children are the greatest gift. J.C. Ryle says, the one who prays most for me loves me most. And so we pray for those children. Praying for a child, we ask the Lord that they would walk in truth, and what a joy it is that they do that. You say, does prayer make a difference? I think my prayers fall on deaf ears. I think the ceilings are brass. I think prayer is a perfectly good waste of time. Prayer opened the Red Sea. Prayer made the sun stand still. Prayer made the difference in battle. Prayer moves heaven and earth. Pray. She prayed. We pray. The second thing I want you to see is she gave, we give. Secondly, the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. And I'm so thankful for what he gave me. How about, Lord, let's just be a mutual giving society. You gave him to me. I give him to you. You loved me so much. I love you so much. She gave the child to the Lord. You say, boy, this seems a little over the top for me. I mean, really? I mean, give your child to the Lord? That's overdoing it just a wee bit, don't you think? Not at all. That we would give these children to the Lord and ask him to bless them, ask him to protect them, ask him to use them in his economy and for the sake of his kingdom. Ask him to bless them in every signal way. Our highest hope is that our children... I've often told my children, I don't care if you pump gas. I don't care if you're a greeter at Walmart. I don't care what you do. Walk with the Lord. This is the most important thing that you can do on God's green earth. John would say it this way in 3 John, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I have nothing brings me more joy. It wasn't when I was, in Little League baseball and I in ninth inning, hit some kind of a grand slam. That's not what brought me the greatest joy. What brings me the greatest joy is for my children, whom God has given me, that they would walk in truth. God gave children. Let me just give you a little FYI. God gives us everything good. God has given us... I'm always amused when I hear Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy Stewart. He prays in Shenandoah. I know. I'm sorry about that. I'm outside my notes for just a second. Forgive me. Jimmy Stewart. He prays, and he it's in the movie Shenandoah, and he sets those kids down, and Mama's deceased. She was the Christian of this couple, and he knows he has to pray for dear Martha would want him to pray. And so he prays, and his dear Lord, it's an amusing prayer, Jimmy Stewart. We've tilled this land and we've planted this land and we've worked for the sweat of our brow and we've brought this meal on this table. We've done it by the sweat of our brow. We thank you anyway. I always get a kick out of how he prays that prayer. Do you know that God gives us the energy to work? If we have land, God gave us that land. If we have a house, God gave us that house. If we have kids, God gave us those kids. If there's jingle in our pocket, God gave us that jingle in our pocket. Amen. He gives us everything. And she said, you gave me this child. Thank you, Lord. And I think Christians ought to be the most thankful people on earth, full of thanks to what God has done in our midst. She gave her child to God for his care. Is it okay if I say, let's give our children to the Lord? Let's ask the Lord to bless and care that this child would walk with him now into eternity. I think that this prayer could be physical. This prayer could be spiritual. This prayer could be for, you say, Pastor, I've never had any physical children. This prayer could be for spiritual children. I've led people to the Lord. I have spiritual children. They've led people to the Lord. I have spiritual grandchildren. They've led people to the Lord. I have spiritual great-grandchildren. Whether it's physical children or spiritual children, let's just thank the Lord for all the good things that he does. Psalm 127:3 says, Lo, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Hannah had it right. I am so thankful for this gift. I'm so thankful I give him back to you, Lord. The last thing I want us to see in the moments that we have is not only did she pray and not only did she give, she worshiped the Lord right there in that place. I'm keeping this fairly concise, fairly simple with you this morning. But they worshiped the Lord, we're told at the end of the text. And he would be Eli. He led them in worshiping the Lord right there. There's nothing greater, nothing more precious than being in the house of the Lord, worshiping as a family together, side by side, as they did here. Nothing more profoundly glorious. I'm a guy that believes, and not everybody's cut out of this cloth, I believe in integrated, what they call integrated worship, where it is generational. There are grandparents, there are parents, there are children, there may be great-grandchildren. The more the merrier. One time I went into Bellevue Baptist Church and I had Gideon in my arms. My wife and I, just in our early 20s, God gave us Gideon. I walked into Bellevue. I wanted to hear Dr. Rogers preach at Bellevue Baptist Church. They said, there's a nursery right down here. And I looked at them like, you're not taking this baby from my hands. Well, no, we can't let you. I said, well, if he can't come in, I can't come in. Because I've just always been this way since I was so young. When I worshiped the Lord, I would rather hear the cries of a baby than the snores of a saint any day, right? Yeah, that's me. And, you know, one time, First Baptist Forsyth, I'm saying this at their expense, it's just the truth of the matter. I got my best friend, best man in my wedding, he's a deacon there. I said, how's it going? Going good. How are the kiddos doing? How are the youth doing? They're good. They worship. They do their own worship over in this barn, you know, over there on the property. They kind of do their own thing while us adults. And I am like, that would not go well with me. I think the best way for a child to learn the preciousness and the beauty and the wonder of worship is to be sitting with their parents in the house of the Lord. I'm sure God is using that. I say that at their expense. And I think God can use their format there, but that is just not me in any way. That is not something that I would encourage to do. In fact, when I came to Friendly, they were having children's church through the sixth grade. I said, you're having it through the sixth grade? Let's dial it back to the second or third grade. And I'm not a huge fan of that, but if parents want their children to have something that's age appropriate, I'm okay with that. But I tell every parent that comes in, there are things available for you to use. If you need a cry room for your husband, whatever, there's a cry room back there for your husband. Well, they can use the cry room. But if that child is in here, all the better. That's just me. I make it perfectly plain. I don't apologize for feeling that. They worship the Lord together. Psalm 145 says, one generation shall praise thy works to another. Let me say that again. One generation shall praise thy works to another generation. In heaven, we're going to be worshiping together. There won't be a barn over here and a children's wing over there. I will be worshiping with my wife, with parents, with great-grandparents, with great-great-grandparents, with great-great-great-grandparents, all the way down through. When we get to heaven, it's an all skate across the generations. We'll all be together. Hallelujah. And I say, hey, why wouldn't we do that on earth? Why wouldn't we approach things in that way and worship the Lord in an integrated, multi-generational way? It says they worshiped came before the Lord. Integrated worship, a little child may not understand everything that's going on. You know, dad, mom and dad are singing, and boy, he's putting something in that plate when it comes back. They bow their heads when they pray. They may not comprehend. They comprehend a lot more than we think they comprehend. And they can be busy with their little book. I had a notebook for every child. You take this into worship. I don't care what you do, but you're in worship with me. Knock yourself out. But they would do things and learn to love the Lord and to worship Him as their parents did. It trains them to see what church looks like, what it feels like, what it smells like, how it works. It's training them to be the next generation of leadership in the church as they get access to an adult-led worship service. And so worship God at home. Worship God weekly together, corporately. Worship the Lord together. You say, why this? Because that's what Hannah and Elkanah did with Samuel. And Samuel became one of the titans of the body of Christ. I mean, there are a few people in the body of Christ where you really don't know that their faults just aren't discussed. Now, Samuel, his children is the biggest thing. His children didn't always follow in step with him, but as an adult man used in the kingdom of God, there's few better than Samuel. And the Daniels of this earth and the Josephs of this world, there's just some great, great leadership in the body of Christ, Old Testament and New Testament. But multi-generational, integrated worship, hey, let's do it. And let's praise the Lord in doing just that. If you've never trusted Christ, I want you to trust Christ today. That's where the journey starts. If you need prayer today, you say, Hannah prayed for her child. Pastor, I saw you praying for those beautiful little girls. Would you pray for me? And I would be honored to do that if you would come this morning during this Christmas season celebration. If you need a church home, you say, I live in the community. I just need a place where I can go, I can grow, I can give, I can do my thing for the Lord, serve the Lord. Come home to Friendly Baptist Church. Let's pray together as we wrap up our service. Father, thank you for the story of Hannah and all that she did. It's so simple, but it is so glorious. And I pray that if there's one here who needs to trust Christ as their Savior, that they would come this morning, this beautiful Sunday morning, December 8th, year of our Lord, 2024, and come to faith in Christ this morning. If there are any that need to come for prayer this morning, say, don't just pray for the infants, pray for me. I would be honored to do that, Lord. May they come as we sing. Any that need to come home for a church home. Some would say, church is the worst thing I can do for my soul. Church is a precious place. It's certainly not perfect, but it's precious. And Lord, may you use this church for your glory. If one needs to come home, or a family, to come home to Friendly, may they come as we sing our closing song. Speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.